Amen. Well, if you have your Bible, please do turn with me to Mark's Gospel. We have been working steadily through Mark's Gospel since last October, and we continue this morning in Mark chapter 4 and verse 26. We're going to be looking at two parables that Jesus told, the parable of the seed growing and the parable of the mustard seed. So Mark chapter 4, verse 26, do follow along or follow along there on the screen as well. This is Jesus speaking, and he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. This is God's word. Well, we're going to sing again, "Jesus Strong and Kind," this lovely invitation to come to Christ. We'll stand as we sing, and then once we've sat down at the end of this song, the kids, you can make your way out to Sunday school. seated. Kids, it's lovely to see you here. You can head off to your classes now. And thanks to the Sunday school teachers who are teaching you this morning. Often at this point we'd greet each other, but of course we can't do that at the moment. So I'll invite you now to just take your Bible out and open up to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. And I'm going to pray again now and just ask for God's help as we come to look at his word together. Let's pray. Father, we still ourselves for just a moment, and we would ask you to work in our hearts and in our minds just now. Give us the ability to see and hear what you would show us and speak to us from your word. For Lord, we will only hear if we have ears to hear, and so give us ears to hear and open receptive hearts, and teach us, Lord, about your kingdom. Teach us about your will and your ways. Lord, our deepest need today, once again, is to be nourished by you, to be fed from your word. Our need is to know you more. Lord, there's so much out there at the moment that can distract us and that can dishearten us. But Lord, when we look to you, we see one whose purposes will never fail. And so as we look at this passage, these parables of your Son this morning, encourage our hearts, Lord, and give us understanding, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're near that time again in the old household where we will be planting sunflower seeds in our garden. I think if soon we plant them, come the summer, they should sprout up and be nice and tall. And I'm always amazed by the process. I actually brought a little sunflower seed this morning with me. You may be able to see it, you may not. But it always amazes me that within this little seed is everything that's needed for the sunflower to grow. You think about it. Now, of course, it needs sun and needs water and all that. But think of everything in this little seed. That's gonna die and break open, and it's gonna sprout. And all the coating or whatever it is to allow the stalk to grow, the yellow color to come, for it then to produce its own seeds, to produce other sunflowers. Everything is in this little seed. It's amazing, isn't it? Think of the potential. Well, that's just a little sunflower seed. But I also brought something else with me. Here's an acorn. Now, those who are astute among you will know that an acorn in itself is not a seed. An acorn is the fruit of an oak tree. Inside the acorn is this tiny little seed. And you think of what's in that seed. What can come from an oak tree seed? A great oak tree. Think of its tiny beginnings. And think of it when it stands there, majestic, strong, almost immovable. Well, in the two parables we come to this morning, Jesus uses the illustration of seeds and how they grow to teach us a lesson about how his kingdom grows and extends in our lives and across this world. In the Lord's Prayer, do you remember how Jesus taught us to pray? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, may your kingdom come. This is a prayer for the growth and extension of God's rule, God's reign over our lives and across the nations. Remember, we've already established, as we've been studying through this gospel, God's kingdom coming speaks of God's rule and reign extending. Jesus told these parables to help us understand the nature of the kingdom of God, the nature of kingdom growth. The kingdom of God may have small and insignificant beginnings, seemingly insignificant beginnings. It may be hidden for a time in some ways. but it will continue to grow and extend under the invincible oversight of God's providential care. It's really important as we begin and as we study these parables this morning, it's really important that we understand that Jesus is not just telling these parables to pass on information, just so that we'll understand in our heads how the kingdom works. No, he wants our understanding of the nature of the kingdom of God. He wants our understanding of that nature to shape our attitude to and our engagement in kingdom work. Jesus wants us to understand, here's how the kingdom grows. Here's the nature of my kingdom. Here's how my rule and reign extends in your life and across the nations. He wants his disciples to get that. He wants us to get that so that we'll think rightly, calibrate our expectations rightly as we engage in kingdom work ourselves. Jesus wants us to understand that we as his followers have a role in kingdom work, sowing the seed of his word. But he wants us to know that he ultimately is responsible for the growth and progress of the seed of his word and the seed of his kingdom in our lives and across the nations. Jesus wants us to understand the nature of kingdom growth so that we will engage rightly in kingdom work. Now, there's so much in these two little parables that is helpful for us here this morning. So much that is here to encourage us, especially if you're feeling a bit discouraged about your own progress as a Christian, or you're feeling discouraged about the progress of the gospel in these days in our land, or if you're here and you're listening in and you're not a Christian and you're like, how does this whole Christian thing work? Hopefully this will be helpful for all of you. So the question the parable addresses is essentially this: how does God's kingdom grow in our lives and in the world? I want to answer it in three stages from the parables, looking at how God's kingdom begins in our lives, how it progresses, and how it ends. That'll be our roadmap to walk through the parable, and then I just want at the end draw out three lessons that we can apply to ourselves here today. So number one, where kingdom growth begins, the simple act of sowing. Verse 26, Jesus, coming off the back of the parable of the sower who sows the word, and the different kinds of soil, the different kind of hearts that receive it, Jesus now says the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. In verse 31, in the second parable, he says the kingdom of God can be compared to a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Now, when you stop to think about it, this feels like a bit of an underwhelming comparison, doesn't it? Think of all the things Jesus could have said the kingdom of God was like. Just think of all the comparisons he could have drawn. He could have said, the kingdom of God is like majestic mountains, steady and unmovable. Or he could have said, the kingdom is like a great rainforest, a forest full of life and diversity. Or he could have said the kingdom of God is like a mighty tsunami, a tidal wave that keeps gaining force. So much he could have compared the kingdom to. But here's what Jesus says. The kingdom of God is like little seeds just scattered on the ground. In fact, in the second parable, the parable of the mustard seed, the emphasis is on the smallness, the seeming insignificance of the seed that is sowed. I looked up earlier this week, it takes 475 mustard seeds to get 1 gram of seed. So the scattering of seed isn't a very impressive act in and of itself. But what I think Jesus is pointing to here is that the sowing of seed is an act with incredible potential. I once saw a picture of someone holding a handful of seed just in the palm of their hand, and the caption underneath it said, "I hold in my hand a forest." Something about that grips me. The potential of the scattering of seed, a simple, simple act, huge potential. I think that's the point that Jesus is making, comparing the way the kingdom grows to the sowing of seed. Now, in the previous parable of the soils, Jesus said in verse 14 of chapter 4 that the seed the farmer sows is the word. And though we don't want to narrow down our interpretation too much, I think we're warranted in seeing that the sowing of the seed here represents again the sharing of the message of the kingdom. Remember how Jesus' ministry began. In chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, we're told he preached the gospel of God, saying, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel." Jesus' ministry, his kingdom ministry began with him proclaiming, speaking, teaching, sharing the message of the kingdom, sowing the seed. We established a couple of weeks ago that the parable of the sower, the parable of the soils, it's Jesus actually speaking of what he was doing in that moment. He was teaching the crowds. He was sowing the seed, and they would all respond in different ways. So here's where kingdom growth begins. The simple act of sowing seed, sharing the message of the kingdom, the gospel being shared into our own hearts or into the lives of those around us. The Apostle Paul spoke of his ministry of preaching the gospel in this way. In 1 Corinthians 3:6, he spoke of his ministry as one of sowing and planting seeds. "I planted," the Apostle Paul said. "Apollos watered, but God brings growth." So the first thing we're to see, I think, in this parable is the beginning, understanding where kingdom work begins, where kingdom growth, kingdom extension begins, the simple act of sowing. And though I'm going to apply this all much more fully at the end, let's just think for a moment of the significance of this. Every time you share in the ministry of Jesus by sharing something of the gospel, or speaking of your hope in Jesus, or living out loud as a Christian in the world, any time you're speaking to your children, to your husband, to your wife, to your brothers, your sisters, your friends, any time you're speaking of the King, speaking of Jesus, you are sowing seeds with incredible growth potential. You think of the power in the seed to grow and extend. Anytime you're speaking for Christ, huge potential. Never to be underestimated. I know it can seem so insignificant, and people's hearts can seem so hard. And yet, when God ordains for that seed to take root in a heart and grow, nothing in the universe, not Satan, not hell, not anything, can hold it back. So do not underestimate what a simple word for Jesus can accomplish. It could be the start of your son or your daughter or your family member or your friend becoming a mighty oak of righteousness. So that's how kingdom growth begins, the simple act of sowing. But now let's think of how kingdom growth progresses. After the farmer has sowed the seed in verses 27 and 28, Jesus goes on to say, he sleeps, the farmer sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. And the first thing I think we're to draw from this is that kingdom progress in our lives or in the world is often going to be marked by subtlety. The farmer's sleeping and rising speaks of life going on as normal. We go to bed, we wake up for another day, we get breakfast, we go to work, we do our studies, we do our work, whatever we do, spend time with our family, spend time with our friends. The stuff of life goes on all the time. Think of even this morning. However you slept last night, you've woken up this morning, had your breakfast, here you are, or wherever you are. The stuff of life goes on, but Jesus wants us to know that as the stuff of life goes on, there is another process at work in our lives and across all nations. It is the work of the kingdom of God progressing. in subtle and often imperceptible ways. You think of a plant that grows. When we plant that little sunflower seed here, and you know, one day, perhaps July, I look out and there it's grown. Will I have seen it grow? Well, not really, unless I was to set up a camera and time-lapse it and speed it all up. It grows steadily and almost imperceptibly. And Jesus wants us to know that's the nature of my kingdom, as it grows in your own life, or as you share and sow and it goes to work. Know that kingdom growth can be marked by subtlety. But the second thing I think we could say about this parable and the comparison of this subtle growth, the growth is subtle, but it's also steady. In verse 28, Jesus goes on to say, the earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. The seed keeps growing right to the point where it is ripe and ready to be harvested. Now, this doesn't always mean that there's steady growth in our lives in terms of always at the same rate. Rather, this parable is pointing to the fact that kingdom growth will be continual right up until that day of harvest when Jesus returns. Most plants grow more quickly in their early stages, and then the growth slows. Isn't it amazing how that's so often the case in the Christian life as well? But maturity does come steadily. The plant doesn't stop growing until harvest. The third thing then we could say about this comparison, we see that growth is subtle, it's steady. I think we're to see that growth also happens under God's sovereignty or his sovereign oversight. There's a couple of clues in the text that show us that growth certainly doesn't come from the sower, the farmer who sows the seed. The first little clue is in verse 27b, when we read, the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. This is a way of saying, that one that sows it, he's certainly not the one that brings the growth. He doesn't know how to bring growth. He doesn't have the power in himself to make the plant grow. We're to see that there's something else at work giving that life and growth. Second clue in our text here that helps us to see that the growth ultimately comes from God is in verse 28. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, etc., etc. There's a lovely little Greek word behind this little phrase, by itself, automate. Now, what does that sound like? Automatic. Absolutely. This seems to be an automatic process of growth built into the seed. There's something within the seed itself that has the power for it to generate and grow. It doesn't need the human sower to make it grow. The power and life for the growth, it's in the seed. It's in the kingdom. It's something inherent in the word, in the message of the kingdom itself. Isn't it lovely that God said in Genesis 1:11, when he was speaking everything into existence, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth. And it was so. The seed germinates and grows into life because God has set it up that way. And he wants that to stand as a picture of his kingdom extending into our hearts, into our lives, and across the nations. The growth is subtle. The growth is steady. But the growth is overseen by a sovereign God who gives life and power to all. So this parable helps us understand the nature of kingdom growth. This, I think, helps us to calibrate our expectations as we engage in kingdom work and sow the word or read our own Bibles and think about growth in our own lives or in the lives of our children or our families. Things may not always grow or progress quickly as we would like them to in our families or in our churches. But the key truth that we're to see here is that ultimately the hope for growth, it comes in God. So we must sow And at the same time then, we trust Him to grow. We trust Him to bring the growth. And we'll say a lot about this towards the end. But let's just move on now to see, thirdly, how the kingdom growth ends. We've looked at how kingdom growth begins, how it progresses, the nature of that progression. Now, thirdly, let's look at how kingdom growth ends. Or perhaps a better way to put that would be, let's think of the end of kingdom growth. The two parables each teach that the progress of the kingdom will end with a sure and what we could call a stupendous harvest. Overwhelmingly impressive. In verse 29, we read, "When the grain is ripe, at once he," that's back to the sower, the farmer, "he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come." Now, in the Old Testament, in the book of Joel, and in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, this is the language used, the sickle being put in because it's harvest time. This is the language used for when Jesus returns to judge the wicked and to bring in his harvest of his people to himself. In the parable of the mustard seed, look down at verse 32, Jesus again says, "When it's sown, it grows up, it becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." Now again, in the book of Ezekiel, for example, and some other Old Testament prophets, this picture of a great tree with big branches and birds from all over the place finding rest and shelter there. This is a beautiful picture given to us in the Old Testament of people from all nations in the end coming in and finding rest in Jesus Christ and in the kingdom of God. It is an Old Testament picture to show how the gospel will come in and through Jesus and be proclaimed not just to Israel, but to all nations. And all nations will find a resting place, a place of shelter, a place of salvation in the kingdom of God. This is such a beautiful picture that the second parable we're thinking of this morning gives to us. The emphasis in the second parable, the parable of the mustard seed, is that though the beginnings of a mustard plant are so small and seem so insignificant, that tiny little seed that, what did I say, takes 475 of them to get even 1 gram of seed, that tiny little seed has the most incredible potential to grow into something that can actually give rest and refuge to birds. And the translation of that is the kingdom seed, the kingdom that came with its insignificant little, what seems so insignificant with the birth of Jesus Christ. Think of today how across the nations people are finding hope and rest in Jesus Christ. Think of the vision of Revelation 7:9. Great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, all tribes, all peoples, all languages. And we're told that they're resting. They're worshiping. And the Lamb becomes their shepherd. And he leads them to streams of living waters. This picture of this parable, the steady and unstoppable growth of God's kingdom, the end where it will go, it will end with people from all nations celebrating and rejoicing and finding rest in Christ. This is given to encourage us this morning greatly. Remember, if you're in Christ this morning, you are part of something that will never fail, never fall. In the end, the Lamb wins. Nothing in heaven or earth can do anything to stop the invincible purposes of God. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm sitting where you are now, my heart's starting to beat with excitement as I think of that truth. Think of it. The baby born in the manger. The seed of the woman promised in Genesis 3:15. The little seed. And look at today, the nations finding their hope. And here we are in this little corner of the vineyard worshiping Jesus. So that's the parable. What I want to do now is just draw three lessons that will help us grasp our role in the kingdom of God and how this parable is to calibrate our attitude to and expectations of kingdom growth in our own lives and across the nation. So just turn a corner here, and we're just thinking really practically now of how this can help us going out into the week ahead. Number one, we learn from this parable that we are called to be faithful sowers of the word. That's our job. Of course, it is empowered by God. That's why the book of Acts opens with, "You will be clothed with power from on high, and you will be my witnesses." Of course, we need power from God to sow the seed and to be faithful. But here's our job, the simple work of sowing. The only human activity in the parable is in verse 26 with the man scattering the seed on the ground. Here's our role this week as we go out among our families, our colleagues, and our friends. We are to be sowers of the message of the kingdom. Think about how the kingdom began in your life. Think of how you became a Christian, if you are a Christian this morning. It began, God's kingdom work in your life, when the seed of God's word was sown by someone. Now, I don't know who it would have been. Faithful Sunday school teacher, maybe a parent, maybe a family member, maybe a friend. You can think of it and just celebrate and thank God for that faithful person who did a simple work of sowing in your life. But when that seed fell and took root in your heart, and when it was sprouted to life by the regenerative power of the Holy Spirit, you were born again. Here's how Peter speaks of it in 1 Peter 1:23. You've been born again. And if you're a Christian, take this as encouragement for you this morning. You've been born again, not of perishable seed. The life Jesus gives you will never die. Though you might die in this world, your body will die. The life that Jesus gives you can never be touched. You're born of imperishable seed. So you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. That's how people become Christians. We're called then to trust the huge potential there is in the seed of God's word, the message of the kingdom, and we are to go out and sow faithfully. That's how we share in the mission of Jesus. We may feel like small. We may feel small. We may feel insignificant. We may feel that our feeble, shy attempts at sowing are so powerless. But they're not. They're never powerless. Or they're never without the potential for great power to be enacted within them. Every single act of sowing has incredible potential built into it. Now, I want to apply this specifically in a few ways. For parents, you think of our primary work in raising our children. It's to sow the kingdom message into their lives. In family devotions, when we read the Bible with our children, when we pray, we're sowing. And I just want to encourage you this morning, whatever stage you're at, just keep sowing. Keep doing your best to just sow faithfully. You may struggle thinking, oh, I'm not the best parent in the world. And let's face it, we all who our parents think that at times often. But you can, in simple ways, keep sowing the seed into your children's lives. People here with unsaved family members, just keep sowing subtly when you can. With your neighbors, your work colleagues. Your work is to be a faithful, simple sower. And never forget power that is contained. Here's this little seed. Never forget the power that's in the seed. Power is not ultimately in you, in your eloquent presentation of it, or in your amazing parenting skills. The power is in what you're sowing. So let's sow faithfully, trying where we can to live as bright lights so that people, when they see our lives, they'll start speaking and asking questions, and we can speak of the identity of Jesus and the mission of Jesus. And the call of Jesus to follow him. So this week, we're called to be faithful sowers, whether it's with our children around the dinner table, or whether it's with our colleagues or our families or friends, or husbands into their wives, wives into their husbands. This is our job, the simple act of sowing. Second lesson we're to draw from this. We are called to leave then the growing work up to God.
I have a friend who has this line, and if I'm honest, I find it a bit annoying. He often says when we disagree on something, "Steve, you do you, I'll do me." And I'm always like, "God, that's so relativistic. There is truth and there is a right and wrong, and you can't just say, you do you, I'll do me. I want to know who's right and who's wrong, what's true and what's false." And so I have to bite my tongue when my friend has said, "Well, you do you and I'll do me." And in the context of evangelism, that's a frustrating expression. But when we actually turn that around and think of that, about how it applies to this second point I'm trying to make, that we're called to leave the growing work up to God, God says to us, "Okay, you do you and I'll do me. You sow and I will look after the growing. Don't you start thinking that you've got to do the growing, you've got to make it all happen. Don't you think that you can grow, you can force it. You sow, you do you, I'll do me. You do the sowing, trust me with the growing." Now, this might not sound like a groundbreaking truth, but I am telling you, this is one of the most immensely liberating truths in the world. Why do I say that? Well, you know the saying, you can lead a horse to the water, but what? You can't make it to drink. Well, this applies in our evangelism, with our kids, sharing in work, preaching, communicating with our unsaved family members that we are so grieved over. And this applies in missions, cross-cultural missions. We are not called to make people Christians. We can't do it. We're not called, first and foremost, to results. We are called, first and foremost, to be faithful. Now, you think of the missionary in northern Pakistan today, working hard, sowing faithfully, doing all they can, and maybe for years they haven't seen a convert. What might you be tempted to think? What would Satan start speaking into your ear? You're a failure. This is never going to work. This is impossible. Do you not see how Islam dominates here? Do you think in your little broken language, in your little feeble seed, you think it can do anything here? And God would say, "You do you, and I'll do me." Because we know that God can change the hardest heart. He can break into the most hopeless situation and totally transform it by His power. You do you, and I'll do me. Think of how helpful this liberating truth is in raising children. If we think it's up to us to see if our kids, we will be crushed. How liberating to hear God say, "You just sow. Just keep sowing, and I will look after the growing." How liberating is that in this church for us as a team of elders? For us who are hoping to see the revitalization and revival of this church into the future so that we can see Belfast reached for Christ, taking the whole city to the whole gospel. How encouraging. We just got to keep sowing, keep sowing, keep sowing, keep watering with prayer. That's a demonstration of your trust in the growth work of God. You just keep sowing, keep watering, and in time, God will do the reviving. And let's face it, that's what we need more than anything. That's what the churches in Northern Ireland need more than anything else. I am just tired of the gimmicks, tired of the super cool, seeker-friendly thing, tired of diluting down the gospel to get people in. No, what we need above all is a supernatural work of the Spirit of God to revive our land. That's what we need. Revival. The growth will come from God. We've got to just keep sowing. And look at us here, small group. What are we? Maybe 40 of us this morning? We small church in the city center. But boy, we've got the seed. And the word that proceeds from the mouth of God, God is God Almighty. So let's not despise the day of small things. Remember, growth can be subtle, imperceptible. It can look as if God's not at work, but He is. He is at work. And how encouraging is this truth then in our own lives? Sometimes we struggle with the slowness of our own sanctification. Well, here is what God says in Philippians 1:6 through His apostle. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Or later on, Philippians 2, 12 and 13, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and work for his good pleasure. Isn't that amazing? God's at work in us to make the seed grow, to make his kingdom grow in our hearts and lives, so that more and more of our lives will be brought under his lordship. That is the most wonderfully liberating truth. You do you, I'll do me, says the Lord. Now, third point we want to make here in just closing this off. So we have seen that we're called to be faithful sowers of the word. We're called to leave the growing work up to God. Third, we're to do all of this knowing that God's kingdom will never fail. My friend and pastor in America, Pastor Mike Bullmore, he summarizes these two parables by saying this. These parables teach us of the unstoppable purpose of God that is empowered by the invincible power of God. That is a wonderful line, isn't it? These parables teach us of the unstoppable purpose of God empowered by the invincible power of God. This world under the curse of the fall will one day pass away, but God's kingdom will endure forever. Think of how Jesus came like a little insignificant seed in the incarnation. The promised seed of the woman in the Old Testament scriptures. He was like the seed that falls to the ground, and when it dies, it explodes with fruit. Jesus' death and resurrection, the resurrection of Jesus Christ over death, guarantees the success and the progress of the kingdom. And Jesus said that he came, and he lived, and he died, and he rose again to this end, that a people would be redeemed, who would be called, in Isaiah 61:3, oaks of righteousness. The planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Jesus will see to it that his kingdom is built. He will see to the progress. He said, I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus' death and resurrection guarantees that in the end, the kingdom will prevail. And think of how today that kingdom is continuing to expand and extend across the nations. I spoke to Shane Dean this week earlier. He's working in planting a church in Passage West in Cork. Do you know when their first day for launching their church plant was? 8th of March 2020. 10 years of preparation. They had one Sunday on the 8th of March, and after that were put under lockdown. And he told me, 10 years of planning, Steve, one service. He said, we are perhaps the most unsuccessful church plant in the history of the church. We had one service and no one ever came back. But we know that's not the case. Because do you know what's happened? People have moved and they've been following online. And Shane has started these online studies. And he said that he's seen people come to faith. And so he's bursting to start again. He said, I don't know if anyone's going to come back, but we're going to open again. And I've spoken to Shane, and I spoke to another couple this week in Bosnia-Herzegovina who have a little church with 18 people in it. They're finding it difficult. And there's hardly any Christians, and they're doing their best just so faithfully. Shane's in Cork sewing. They're in Bosnia-Herzegovina sewing. We can think of other friends. Think of John Brew and his long service of sewing in Peru, or the Ariases in Portugal. Sowing in Santo André in a tiny little church there. Sowing, sowing, sowing. And slowly and subtly and almost imperceptibly, today the nations are being brought in. And Jesus wants us to know this is the nature of the kingdom, so that we'll think rightly about our role in it and have our expectations set rightly when we're thinking about the growth we want to see in our own lives and in the lives of our church and in the lives of those around us. I'll close with these words of Derek Thomas, a Welsh theologian. He says Christian discipleship is to be worked out within the context of the assurance of victory rather than the prospect of defeat. Christian discipleship is to be worked out within the context of the assurance of victory rather than the prospect of defeat. So, brothers and sisters, this week I'd encourage you, in light of this parable, to trust the unstoppable purpose of God, empowered by the invincible power of God. And if you do not know Jesus and you do not have the seed of his kingdom implanted in your own heart, then this morning you can invite and receive Jesus to start a work in you that will never end. In the end, the Lamb wins. And what confidence we have to go forward as simple sowers. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you so much for these two simple little parables that are so packed with encouraging truth. Lord, when we think of a little seed and the power and potentiality within, and we think of all those that we're sowing into at the moment, whether it's our children or our friends or our families or our colleagues, oh Lord, we ask that as we sow, you would empower us that we could be faithful witnesses and faithful sowers. And we pray, Lord, that that seed would fall on good hearts and that you would make hearts around us receptive. Think of those we've been sowing among in our families maybe for years and they just seem so hard. Oh Lord, dig up the soil. Plough their hearts. Set up the scarecrows to scare away anything that would seek to pluck that seed out of the ground. And Lord, cause your word to find a resting place in the hearts of those we can think of now who we'd love to see become Christians. As we sow and as you do your work, we ask that you would do a powerful work of regeneration and growth in these days, in our lives, in our families, in our children, in this church, in the churches across our land and across the nations. Lord, all we can do is sow. You are the one that brings the power and growth. And Lord, we know that in the end, because of your unstoppable and invincible power, there will be a people gathered from every tongue and nation and tribe, giving glory to you forever. The seed that was tiny will have produced something that gives shade and salvation rest to countless millions. Oh Lord, we find such hope here and we thank you. And as we gather around your table to respond now, bless us. Remind us of the seed that died and rose again and is continuing to bear fruit across all nations. For we ask it in his name. Amen. Well, we're going to respond by standing together to sing the first two verses of When I Survey. Allow this to be a time just to prepare your heart to share the Lord's Supper together. And then at the end of this time, we'll just prepare our bread and our little cup there. If you didn't pick that up on the way in, please do pick one up at the back table. And then we'll share the Lord's Supper together. I've been so eager to have this time together. So let's, as we stand and sing, just prepare our hearts.
you be seated.